From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There are names seared into America's collective memory. Some are cities, Buffalo, El Paso, Newtown. Some are institutions, Pulse, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and Northern Illinois University. As you know by now, Uvalde, Texas has been added to this terrible roll call. At least two teachers and 19 children were shot to death at Robb Elementary School. They were second, third, and fourth graders, and authorities say it took place in a single classroom. President Biden addressed the nation last night. Here's some of what he had to say.
And how many scores of little children who witnessed what happened see their friends die as if they're on a battlefield, for God's sake? They'll live with it the rest of their lives.
Joining me now to talk more about this latest tragedy is Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamurti. He's a Democrat representing the 8th District, which currently includes Oak Brook Terrace, O'Hare Airport, Schaumburg, and Elgin. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
I should mention, I understand your flight was delayed. You're calling in from the airport, so if there's any noise in the background, that explains that to our listeners. Thank you for making time to be with us. Listeners, we do want to hear from you about this. We have some text messages. We'll be sharing those throughout the show, but you can call in now as well. Let us know how you're feeling about this latest tragedy, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Congressman, I'm just going to begin. What was your reaction to the news out of Texas yesterday?
I was shocked. I was horrified. I was extremely saddened and at the same time angry. I think just a mixture of emotions about what happened. And, you know, my wife and I have three school-aged children. So this is, it touches a deeply personal nerve as well. So I'm just, like all of your listeners and Americans everywhere, just mourning their loss.
Yeah, I myself have two school-aged children, including a third grader. So I definitely feel that myself. A lot of attention obviously now turns to the policy debate. It's a very familiar debate that always happens. We have these tragedies, then we say, why hasn't anything been done? What can we do? You are on the Oversight and Reform Committee. 3 years ago, after yet another mass shooting in Texas, that one in El Paso, there's an investigation into the causes of gun violence. What came of that? What can be done? Will anything be done?
Well, what came of it was we voted for various pieces of gun control legislation in the House. It passed, and then it went to the Senate to die. Every single one of these measures has been filibustered, including what's called a Bipartisan Background Checks Act, H.R. 8, which, by the way, has the support of 90% of gun owners in America. And so that's really where most of our legislative attention needs to be focused, which is how do we get it out of the Senate? I have heard that Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, is going to call some of this legislation for a vote again, maybe as soon as this week. But unless we eliminate the filibuster or get 10 Republican votes in the Senate for any of these common sense measures, unfortunately, they're not going to go anywhere in this Congress.
You know, that frustration you're experiencing is something we also heard from, of all people, the former Chicago Bulls great Steve Kerr, who is now the coach of the Golden State Warriors. He had a video clip last night that got a lot of attention. And we should mention the issue is personal to him. His father was shot to death in Lebanon in 1984. Let's listen to what he had to say.
And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week.
I got to say, I'm sympathetic to his pain and outrage, but his political analysis, I think Senator McConnell and other Republicans are representing the will of their constituents, aren't they, Congressman?
To some degree, I do think that there are certain special interests in Washington, such as the National Rifle Association, who I think they control a lot of political power, and they probably don't represent, even Mitch McConnell's constituents on every gun control measure. That being said, I do think what Steve Kerr raises brings up another point, which is what are you going to do about it politically to hold people accountable who are running for office? Or once they get in office, will they stick to their position on this issue? I simply would put to any candidate running for office, especially at the federal level, will you support H.R. 8? It's just that simple. Will you support H.R. 8? Or what other measures will you support? Because if people are not held accountable on this particular issue, then they're just going to vote however the special interests dictate in Washington.
We asked our listeners about this issue and how they felt about the tragedy, of course, and whether they were optimistic or pessimistic about legislation being able to solve this problem. One of our listeners said, I'm extremely pessimistic that the legislatures will solve this. We're way too polarized. Plus, I think a lot of the problem is that guns have become a culture in the U.S., way beyond the culture of hunting. I actually think that many Americans prioritize their right to bear arms over the right of children to be safe in school, end quote. Congressman, how do you overcome that that intransigence, this stark political divide?
So I do think that there's something to what the listener is saying. On the other hand, if I had to be kind of cold and calculating about this, there are some pivotal races this year, especially for the Senate in different states. And the question is, will we be able to mobilize a constituency that might cross party lines or at least be among independents and Democrats, especially in the suburbs of major cities, that basically says we are going to be a single issue voter on this particular issue. And by the way, people are single issue voters on other issues, whether it's choice or what have you. But gun control has to be one of those issues as well, because at the end of the day, if we can't keep people safe, what's the point? What's the point of somebody going to the Senate and having the authority or power to do something about this?
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois U.S. Representative Raja Krishnamurti from the 8th District in northern Illinois, outside of Chicago, in Chicago and mostly in the suburbs of Chicago. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455. Maybe you're somebody who does value gun rights, Second Amendment rights, and is somebody who does not like the idea of the government passing legislation. Love to hear your perspective on what we're talking about today at 800-222-9455. Congressman, you also introduced, or I should say have multiple times introduced, legislation known as Cool Off. Can you talk a little bit about what that would do?
Yes, this particular piece of legislation would establish a universal 3-day waiting period for the purchase of handguns. It turns out that through scientific studies, we found that when you put a waiting period in place, it really does cool off passions, somebody who is thinking about either doing harm to themselves or to others. It reduces shootings, it reduces homicides and suicides quite a bit. And so we're trying to put this in place at the federal level. We have I believe 140 co-sponsors in the House. And I think that this is something that is common sense. Remember, it takes 3 days to receive an Amazon package. Why should we wait any less for purchasing a handgun?
You know, I want to read a couple of more texts we got from listeners here. One of them said, Marlene said, the first step should be more background checks and waiting periods, then address the mental health issues of this current society. Violence has increased during the pandemic. It included addressing that and several other issues like health care for mental health. But no politicians and lawmakers have done anything, and it is doubtful that they actually will, end quote. Congressman, there was another person who texted in and tried to link this issue to your opposition to the idea of Medicare for all. I guess it's a critique from your left. Can you talk about health care and mental health? And obviously, we don't know what motivated the shooter. And I mean, in some sense, I don't know that there's any amount of intervention that can prevent this kind of thing. You know, a committed person with a weapon can wreak a lot of damage, but take it where you will.
Well, I think that at this point, there is legislation called red flag laws, extreme risk laws, that some states have put in place, and we're trying to pass it at the federal level, that would allow loved ones or law enforcement to, you know, essentially remove access to firearms for people who might be a risk to themselves or others because of mental health crises. I do think that mental health issues and access to firearms are a deadly combination, and in any situation where you have a troubled young person, especially with access to firearms, we should no longer be surprised when they engage in these horrendous acts. In fact, our inaction on this issue recklessly causes these tragedies. So I think we absolutely have to pass these red flag laws and attend to the mental health issues that beset our country.
What do you say directly to our listeners who may be, you know, again, opponents of this sort of gun control? How do you appeal to them if, you know, we've been through this so many times now, El Paso, Buffalo, Newtown, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, as I had that list at the beginning of this segment. What do you say to people to try and turn things? Or is this, I mean, I got to be honest with you, I'm feeling pretty hopeless today. Is there any reason for optimism?
Well, I guess what I say to people is, you know, I'm from Peoria, Illinois, and there a lot of people do own firearms for the purpose of hunting. And, you know, a lot of people believe in the Second Amendment rights for recreation and for self-defense purposes. But I think that there's so many people who have firearms who are very concerned about this, just the explosion in gun violence at this point. And so if we can kind of tailor remedies or tailor legislation that addresses their legitimate concerns with regard to their Second Amendment rights, and at the same time, you know, is effective in controlling gun violence, I think we have to do whatever we can to bring them along. Remember, there are certain people like Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina, who introduced this red flag law with Senator Richard Blumenthal in Connecticut. How do we go back to those people and try to convince them that it's time to move forward on this again? If we can't do that, then we have to create a carve out in the filibuster, Brian. And there we have to go to Joe Manchin and say, look, on your own bill, the background checks bill that you tried to pass in 2013, we couldn't get through past the filibuster. And it's time that we create a carve out for that. So that's what I would try to advocate politically. And I'd ask your listeners and others to do the same.
Raja Krishnamurti is a congressman from the 8th District in northern Illinois. It includes currently Oak Brook Terrace, O'Hare Airport, Schaumburg, and Elgin. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st Show.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
Coming up after a short break, we're going to be talking with a psychologist about processing this sort of grief, another massacre of innocents. It's an all too familiar problem. We've been here before. We'll be here again. How do we deal with that? That's coming up after a short break. If you want to join our conversation, we want to hear from you. How are you handling this? Are you avoiding the news? Obviously, you're listening to public radio right now, but we want to hear how you are reacting to this. What are you doing with your grief and anger? 800-222-9455 is the number to call. 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.